brazy, do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.
Welcome to another episode of the Italian Gamer Joe podcast. Today is February 19th, 2021. The time is now 7 o'clock p.m. and we are now getting ready for another full episode of gaming news, playlist, the question of the week, and a positive quote, and much, much more. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Newsweek portion of the show. Here on the Italian Gamer Joe's Newsweek, we talk about trending news topics in the world of gaming. One of the big announcements that happened this week in gaming that interested me was Nintendo's Direct, which aired on February 17th, 2021. According to TheVerge.com, Nintendo did a bunch of things. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about what Nintendo announced and give a little bit of my feedback for all of you out there listening. One of the first big announcements for the Nintendo Direct was the announcement of Splatoon 3. Splatoon 2 came out back in 2017 when the Switch was first announced, or when it first came out. So in Splatoon 3, they announced a trailer, and one of the first things they show is this desert, and there's this inkling that's like has blonde hair, and they're just sitting down, and then you can like create them and customize how they look. And you can like change their eye color, their hair color. You can change their hairstyle. So that's one of the first things you can do. And then you get to change their clothing and select how they look by customizing them. And then after you do that, you can customize their buddy, which is a whole new thing. You can customize how the buddy looks, like their hair, the color of their hair and all these things. So then what happens is the Inkling runs into the desert and you see this like big desert fortress and you're walking around and the Inkling has like this bow that they're holding. And I guess in the trailer, they just show the Inkling standing around and then they're getting ready to go on a train. And then they like board this train. And this is just so different. It's such a departure from Splatoon that we know. Then they show like the Inkling on the train and there's a fish person and an octopus thing. And it's just so different than what Splatoon is. Like it's so the second game was about like an urban setting. And now we're like in the desert in the middle of nowhere. And, now there's like this desert town that we get to go to, and like it's just really cool getting the opportunity to see like a new town, a new place to go, new places to explore, new shops. This game looks like so much fun. I am so excited for Splatoon 3. I mean, not only did they announce like a new area, but they also announced new weapons, they announced a new campaign. They even like are showing off like flying, so you can fly now and choose where you want to land before you land. There's just so many new things they added to this game, and I'm so excited to see what they're adding. I mean, they added like a bazooka you can shoot. You can hang on things. It's just crazy, like how much they're revealing to us. I mean, the buddy system looks really cool, and I'm really excited to see what they do with the buddy system. I mean, Splatoon is a very, very popular game for the Switch. I mean, the second game still has a relevant fan base today. It's still popular today. Tons of people buy it. Splatoon is like Nintendo's Call of Duty. It's like Nintendo's Fortnite. This game is wildly popular, and I'm so excited for the third game in the franchise. It's slated to launch in 2022, according to TheVerge.com. Other than the trailer they showed us, they didn't really show much else. Another announcement that the Splatoon Another announcement that Nintendo did for the Direct was The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword for Nintendo Switch. This game is slated to come out on July 16th, and one of the cool things about it is that they remastered some of the graphics, so it's like full Nintendo Switch HD graphics. They also added they added motion controls, but you can still play the game on a Switch Lite. So if you have a Switch Lite, you can still play the game fully on there. Nintendo also announced blue and indigo colored Joy-Cons. So that looks really cool as well. I'm really excited to see what they do with that. The colors of the Joy-Cons look really fantastic. I'm really excited to see when they come out. They haven't actually announced when they come out yet, but it looks really cool and the Joy-Cons look awesome. I never actually played Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, so I'm really excited to see what content the game has as opposed to the Wii U version, if it's just a direct port or if it's something more than that. The game looks really fun. Back when I had the Nintendo Wii, I was a big fan of Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. And for me, that was such a great game. And I played so much of that game growing up. I mean, the temples were so much fun. Like, the characters were fun. Playing as Wolf Link was such a blast. I remember getting that game and just really having a great time with it, because that was, for me, like, that was the ultimate, like, sequel from Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time. Like, Twilight Princess was so fun. And then when Skyward Sword came around, I never got the opportunity to play it, because that was when Nintendo also announced, like, the Wiimote Plus situation. And I remember that, like, when it came out, it was really hard to find the Wiimote Plus accessories. So, like, you either could play Skyward Sword with the Wiimote accessory, or you couldn't play it. So I remember struggling to find it, and I ended up just skipping out on that Legend of Zelda game entirely. So it's nice to see that this game is coming back for the Nintendo Switch. I think a lot of players missed out on this Zelda game because of the way Nintendo advertised and marketed the Wiimote Plus, and how difficult it might have been to get one or acquire one, or maybe a little bit of confusion in the marketing department of, like, what they were trying to go with that specific Wiimote. But I'm really excited to see Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. This is a game, like I said, that I never played before, and I'm really excited to get the opportunity to play it. Another announcement they made was Mario Golf Super Rush. Mario Golf Super Rush is a typical Mario Golf title. The game, what makes the game look really fun is that the graphics have this huge overhaul. So, like, the graphics are just beautiful. There's different biomes, it looks like. They have, like, a grassy biome, a snow biome. It looks like a typical Mario Golf game. And then they also included new features like motion controls. However, you can still play the game on a Switch Lite. They also added speed golfing, where you'll hit the ball and then you'll, like, run to get towards your ball, I think, to, like, get to the hole. And then everyone golfs at the same time. So you're just running to get to your ball, but then you can also use items. It looks so much fun and so chaotic. And the game trailer that they showed us looks like it's online. They even show, like, an online disclaimer. So I'm hoping that this will be, like, an online experience for randoms and for friends. Nintendo really needs to start doing that. Like, really needs to start giving us more of that opportunity to have more online games like this. And then they also introduced a story mode. The story mode involves you playing as a custom character that you create, which looks like a Mii, and you can walk around and enjoy, like, a little golfing, like, in kind of thing, and you can customize and upgrade your character's stats. So it's really cool getting the opportunity to see that Nintendo is spending so much time on this. This is something we were not expecting. And Mario Golf and Mario Tennis are big games in Nintendo franchise. So getting the opportunity to see that is so huge, and I'm so excited for this. I really wish that Mario Tennis had more of a story mode, or had more of the last Mario sports game I played was Mario Tennis for the Switch, but before that was Mario Tennis Power Tour for Game Boy Advance, and that game was so much fun. Like, it had a story mode, it had characters, it had a dialogue between characters, there was drama, they had, like, leveling up. I mean, you could grind for experience. It was such a fun game. So I'm really excited to see what Mario Golf does, because this looks like a blast to play. The next announcement that I want to talk about is Mario, Super Mario getting introduced into Animal Crossing. So for all of you people out there that are Animal Crossing fans, they now are coming out with Mario clothing. So you can wear a Mario outfit and a Luigi outfit. They have question mark blocks and blocks in general that you can walk on, and you can collect items. You can, like, there's just so many cool items. They added thwomps. They added Luigi Wario outfits, and they even added warp pipes. You can now go into a warp pipe and then warp somewhere else on your island, which is insane. I mean, I've never seen this before in Animal Crossing. Like, this is definitely one of the coolest items I've ever seen. So you can now turn your Animal Crossing island into a Mario course. I'm so happy to see that. So according to the game's trailer, you can purchase these Mario outfits and items through the ATM at Town Hall. So if you just go to the ATM at Town Hall, you can purchase these items and start using them on your island. You do have to wait 24 hours to receive the items, and you can only purchase 5 per day. So if you're a time traveler, you can probably get them that way. If you're not a time traveler and you want to do it the natural way, then it might take a few days to get all the items. But yeah, it looks really cool, and I'm excited to decorate my island. The update for the Mario content arrives, according to the trailer, February 25th. So that's February 25th is next Thursday. So it's going to be nice to see like what they do for that. Let's see what's next. The next direct news is Fall Guys. For those of you that don't know what Fall Guys is, it's a game that really took the world by storm a few months ago, and it's a game where a bunch of like players that look like birds run through these obstacle courses, and there's 100 players, and they just run and they try to get to the finish line, but there's only a certain number of finish line spots. And if you get to the finish line, you can continue the next round. If you don't, then you're eliminated from the game. And then you collect like experience points, which you can level up and get like new cosmetics for your characters. It's chaotic though. I mean, the best way I can describe it is like, imagine going to like a retail store on Black Friday and having to like run to get that TV or run to get that computer or run to get that game. That's what Fall Guys is like. It feels like Black Friday and you're just running to get all these crazy things. It's such a fun game and I do recommend it. Just keep in mind though that you will be running like crazy. This is basically a battle royale. It's a battle royale platformer. Back in the day when the game was more popular on PC, I played with some friends of mine. I played with my partner at the time. We had a blast together. The game was a blast to play. We would geek out and we would like fight each other to get to the finish line. It was so fun. So I do recommend playing that game. It's really fun, and now that it's on the Switch, it'll be even more fun to play. Another news announcement is Nintendo announced new Xenoblade Chronicles. Pyra and Mythira from Xenoblade Chronicles are joining Super Smash Bros. Roster. This is a really cool news announcement, and it's exciting to see that Pyra from Smash is arriving. She is a very, very popular character from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. She's the character with the red hair and the red like outfit, and she's a really fun character. She has like all these cool like attacks that she can do, and obviously her style is fire. So I'm excited to see her like moveset. I'm watching the trailer right now in front of me, and you can hear her voice and how excited she is. And she has all these like slash moves. I mean, I think that sword characters are really popular for Smash, and it's going to be really exciting to see people play as Pyra and to see people. She kind of reminds me of like Link from Zelda. Her movesets look very similar. One move that I can see already that's different is that she can throw her sword, and the sword like spins and then it'll attack anyone, leaving her maybe perhaps vulnerable, but it also attacks everybody in front of her with that spinning sword move. And then, like I said, Mythra is also another character that's appearing as well. And her movesets look very similar. But it's exciting. I played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on the Switch. I'm also currently playing through Xenoblade Chronicles 1. They're both fantastic games if you haven't picked them up already. It's really cool though to see that Nintendo is supporting Xenoblade. These are great games and I recommend them a lot. The next announcement is Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity has an expansion pass. The expansion pass is $20 and will be available in November. Another an indie game that got announced that's a roguelike is Outer Wilds. This game is a roguelike and that involves you trying to save a solar system in less than 22 minutes. And if you fail, then you have to start over again. It looks fun. There's not too much I know about it. Other games coming out. There's a ghost hunting adventure, I think, a detective game called Famicom Detective. No More Heroes 3 gets announced. More news on Monster Hunter Rise. There's another zombie game coming out called Stubbs the Zombie. Neon White is a first-person action platformer. Plants vs. Zombies Battle for the Neighborhood is coming out. This game was released in 2019 for PC, PS4, Xbox One. This game looks really fun as well. From the creators of Octopath Traveler from Square Enix comes Project Triangle Strategy. This looks like it's a whole standalone game of its own, and it looks like it has the same exact like graphics and style that Octopath Traveler had, so this game looks fantastic as well. Star Wars Hunters is another game that's coming out that has online play. Knockout City is another game that looks like a battle royale. From Spike Chunsoft, from the creators of Danganronpa and Zero Escape, is World's End Club, which is like a little merge mash of like both games. This game looks like a anime story that involves like murder and intrigue and mystery, and it looks really fun. I think it was originally on Apple Arcade, and you can play it for free on there, but now it's coming to the Switch on May 28th. Hades, the very, very award-winning popular roguelike game that's already on the Switch, has a physical edition coming out, which is really exciting, because if you were a fan of the game, now you can get the game physically to add to your shelf. There's a new Ninja Gaiden coming out. The last time I remember, Ninja Gaiden was like on the DS, so it's funny. It's kind of funny to see that. But yeah, other than that, that was pretty much all of the Nintendo Direct information that I have seen from The Verge, according to The Verge. That's a lot of news. And, you know, these are games that are on the horizon over the next like 6 months or so. So I'm excited to see what other content Nintendo will have for us coming soon. It's really, but this in itself is really exciting to see all this Nintendo Direct news. I'm really, really excited to for all this Nintendo stuff. If you ask me, the most exciting announcements that I've seen so far that I'm really excited for the most, I mean, Splatoon 3 doesn't come out till 2022, but man, when Splatoon 2 comes out, I am going to play the heck out of it. And then, of course, Zelda Skyward Sword. I haven't played Skyward Sword. That's something I'm really excited for. Animal Crossing's new update for the Mario content looks so much fun. Fall Guys is a game I have on PC. I would definitely have no problem getting it for Switch. I'm not sure if it's going to cost any money or if it's free, but it does look a lot of fun. And then, of course, Super Smash Brothers. If you have the DLC Fighters Pass, then Pyra will come for free with your pass. And yeah, I mean, there's so much cool Nintendo content coming out, and I'm really excited to see all this stuff. If you have any news stories that you would like to share or anything that's excited you about Newsweek, feel free to post on the Discord community's games section, and I can definitely talk about it. And if you're interested in ever like co-hosting on the show, let me know and I can put you on a schedule if you would also like to talk with me on the show and talk about some video game news that interested you. But that concludes the news portion of the week. In the next section, I will be talking about the playlist, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Italian Gamer Joe. We are now here to talk about the playlist portion of the week. So the playlist portion of the show is where I talk about games that I played this week that really interested me. I had a full stack of games that I was playing this week, and I have a lot of opinions to talk about. If you have any games that you were playing this week and you would also like to talk about something that interested you, feel free to also to write a comment on the games section of the Discord channel, and I can read it. You're also more than welcome to, if you have the Anchor app on your phone, you can also send me a message through Anchor, a voice message, and you can also have your voice heard on the podcast, and I can play your voice message for the show as well. So let's talk about games that I've been playing this week. One of the first games that I've been playing is and streaming on Twitch is Final Fantasy VIII. I started doing a Twitch stream for Final Fantasy VIII about a month and a half ago, and I had a reason for it. I wanted to grow the Italian Gamer Joe's community. I really believe in this community and believe in the podcast and everything, and it's nice to create this community. One of the reasons why I also chose Final Fantasy VIII is because I lost someone in my life that's really important to me, and we never got the chance to finish the game together. So unfortunately, due to circumstances with life, we parted ways, but I wanted to give myself some closure, and I decided to finish Final Fantasy VIII. And I'm really happy I did, because the story was fantastic. You can watch the full stream on my Twitch channel. You're more than welcome to check out the Italian Gamer Joe on Twitch, and you can watch the full, all my crazy antics and my silliness. I think I spent one stream just 20 minutes looking for an elevator. You heard me right, looking for an elevator. And you could probably like clip it and like create a track on it with like funny music, because I literally spent 20 minutes just looking for an in-game. And this is a game that came out 20 years ago. So imagine like pre-rendered environments with layers. It's fun. It's silly. I engage with the community on there, so it's a fun time. One of the things I loved about Final Fantasy VIII's ending is that it's a love story. So it's about two characters, and not to spoil anything, but you have this introverted guy named Squall, who's a student at a military academy, and then you have his client named Renoa, who is around the same age as him, and together they end up becoming comrades to take down an evil government that's like bent on, whose leader is like bent on destroying the world. And then it even gets worse. There's like time travel involved, and there's all these crazy, crazy things that happen. But at its core, you find out about about Squall, the protagonist, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes with Squall, the character. He was an orphan growing up, and he's always known being alone. So for him, like being vulnerable and opening up to people is a struggle for him. And he finds that when he does make new connections with people, be it friends or romantic partners, he ends up leaving and running away because he doesn't want to be abandoned. He's afraid of being abandoned. He's afraid of, he would rather be alone than to share his life with somebody, because he just can't do it. He points out flaws and then runs, like, especially with Renoa. Like there were several times in the game where he would get to know her, and then he would purposely put up walls, as he was getting to know her, and then run away and not want to do anything with her. And it's struggle to watch it on screen, like to watch these two characters who clearly have chemistry together, to just completely, to go through these moments together. So for Squall, part of his story in the game is to learn how to be vulnerable, to learn that people around him care and love him. And he needs to realize that, no matter how bad things get between these characters, or no matter how difficult things get, he can't just run away, especially when people love him. And he can't just like shut down and not talk to these people again. He needs to basically go and, he needs to talk about his feelings. He needs to learn to confront. He needs to learn to have that emotional maturity. And throughout the game, especially going through all the trials and tribulations of these situations that happen, he learns how to be more emotionally mature. He starts to be more open about his feelings. He confronts Renoa and talks about his childhood. He talks about why he is the way he is. And he doesn't run away from her in the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but he actually takes the time to really get to know her and not give up on her. And for Renoa, her story is a little bit different. I don't want to spoil too much, but for her, like her character represents the opposite of Squall. Like this person that is willing to care Squall is very stubborn. He's a very like straight and narrow, like think of it as an arrow, where Renoa is more of like, think of it like if I move my hand in a wave motion, like think of a wave. And I feel like Renoa is like the bow to Squall's arrow, and they kind of like bounce off each other and help each other out. So it's kind of a really cool love story. And it's really cool getting the opportunity to play this game and really see these characters and how they interact with each other and how this romance story pans out in the end. So fantastic game. I truly loved it. I was crying my eyes out. If you go to my Twitch stream and you watch the final part at like near the end, you'll see me just bawling my eyes out, because I was just so intense by the ending. And Final Fantasy does a great job at their endings. Another game that I've been playing this week is Final Fantasy 14, and this is the MMORPG. From last week's podcast episode, I talked about how Square Enix announced Endwalker, which is a brand new expansion for Final Fantasy 14. I am so far behind on Final Fantasy 14. I think I'm on the base game, and a lot of players in the community say that the base game's story does a lot in terms of like building the world and building the characters. And a lot of the quests in the game are fetch quests because you're trying to get to know like the characters that are going to be reappearing in the expansions. So I have a lot of hours and a lot of time ahead of me to catch up to get to Endwalker. And yeah, that's not going to be pretty. I'm probably going to spend some time just trying to catch up to that expansion, and that's going to take some time. But overall, I'm really enjoying the story. I'm really liking the characters. There's a lot of content to go off of with Final Fantasy 14. And I literally decided that I wouldn't even do the side quests anymore, because when I first played the game, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go through side quests. I'm going to do all this, but I just can't do it. There's just too much content. But overall, fantastic game. The next game that I'd like to talk about that I played this week was Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is a game where you is a game that I hold near and dear to me, to my childhood. And growing up, I was a very introverted person. I struggled with like being bullied and stuff, and I struggled with like confrontation. And Phoenix Wright was one of those games that helped give me confidence. And in the game, you play as defense attorney Phoenix Wright, and he represents criminals that are falsely accused of murder. And all the games, all of these criminals are not really criminals. They're just people that were in bad circumstances at the time, just wrong place, wrong time, unlucky people. And you have to defend them in a court of law where you are guilty until proven innocent. So the clients that he takes on are people that could potentially be going on death row or potentially be, you know, could be getting horrible guilt sentences. And not only to make matters worse, but the prosecutors that you end up facing off against are not necessarily good people themselves, or they're very conflicted people that believe in the concept of the end justifies the means, or they'll place like false evidence, or they'll just do things that are not necessarily like legal. So Phoenix Wright is a really cool game because Phoenix himself struggles with confidence, and especially like early on in the game, he has a mentor named Mia, and Mia is his like one of his best friends. And in the very first case of the game, Mia teaches you how to play, and she reminds Phoenix, like, believe in yourself, you know, believe in the power of your clients. That they're believe in their innocence. And if you can believe in that, then believe in yourself, then you can do this. You can point out contradictions in testimony. You can, you know, if you can do this, you can be confident, you can believe in yourself, then you can do anything. And that's what Phoenix does. He believes in the power of the innocence of his clients, and he'll really take seconds to like look into the evidence, and he'll like point out these contradictions. And what will happen is that these defendants that come to the stand that could be the killers, which usually are the killers, he'll question them, and he'll start to point out interesting contradictions, and the contradictions beget more contradictions, and then you'll see that these witnesses, these defendants that are actually the killers, start to break down, and they start to come up with more lies or more ways to prove that they didn't do it, and then leave it to Phoenix to like question them and present new evidence and say like, well, hey, this doesn't make sense. And then these characters like break down, or they, you know, and it's really crazy. And what makes the game even more cool is that the game introduces supernatural abilities earlier on. And one of the characters that Phoenix ends up becoming best friends with has the ability to see if characters are lying. So what'll happen is if a character in the game like says a lie, then a lockbox appears with chains over the person's heart. And in order to break the lockbox, you have to confront the person, and you have to basically kind of like annoy them and push the envelope a little bit. You have to be, the game kind of like makes you realize that sometimes you have to like go into these situations and confront people and listen, sit down with them and talk about their feelings and present evidence to them to help them break these lockboxes. But the problem is that as you try to unlock one lockbox, more lockboxes appear, and that shows their like anxiety, or that shows their personality coming out. And sometimes in order to get to them down to the truth and help someone confront their own issues, you have to end up breaking multiple lockboxes. And sometimes the lockboxes change color. So you'll have like a golden lockbox, and those like are scary because, if a character in the game is like really mad at you, you can get a game over just from presenting the wrong evidence to them. So it really just goes to show, like, well, I think what makes Phoenix Wright such a great game is that it helped with confidence with me. It helped me realize that, in life, you know, you have to believe in yourself, and if you believe in yourself, you know, then you can believe in the power of others as well. You know, it helped me with confrontation, with dealing, with sitting and listening to people, but also just being mindful of standing up for myself and my own feelings. I know that emotional maturity is a big thing for a lot of people out there, and it can be very difficult sometimes to sit down or listen to someone, or to listen to and talk to someone, or just to care about another human being. And, Phoenix Wright is definitely one of those games where, Phoenix himself is a very strong character, and he listens to people, but he also confronts people, and he can be honest with himself and believe in the power of himself. And every single game in the series reinforces that idea of Phoenix getting more confident in himself. And I can't recommend Phoenix Wright enough. I might even stream it, to be honest, on my Twitch stream, because it's such a great series of games, and they're very emotional games. I find myself crying after every case, because these are people who, like I said, wrong place, wrong time, and now they're a defendant to a murder trial, and they didn't do it. These, like I said, none of these people did the murder. So it's a murder mystery as well. And like I said, every time you get a non-guilty verdict, I find myself just so happy for these people. And it when you really do finish that case after spending so much time trying to look through the court evidence, and trying to figure out these contradictions that the game proposes to you, it's really, really cool. I'll spoil one case, just one case. There's a case in the game where it's a locked room mystery, and one of the witnesses, is the culprit. And she was like, well, I was here. So I wasn't even in the room. So like, how would you think that I was the killer? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I can't be the killer if I wasn't even in the room. And the plot twist that Phoenix discovers, is that the witness has a twin sister that looks just like her. So her twin sister was in the room, and no one in the game knew she was a twin. So the twin sister ended up being the one that killed her, and they worked together to be the killers. So stuff like that is what makes Phoenix Wright so crazy, that Phoenix has to like really think about things and really process things fast. And that's what makes like the games so fun. And that's what makes adventure games like Phoenix Wright so fun, because you're trying to process a lot of information that's coming at you in a very short period of time. And you have to kind of like sometimes, you know, process this and like try to really think things through and present it. And that's what makes the games so fun and so exciting and so interesting. But I will say that real life, one lesson I've learned is that real life is definitely not the same. So don't be confronting your friends or presenting evidence to them, or a partner or something, because it might not go the same way. You know, with Phoenix Wright, you can at least go back to a safe point before you do anything or you mess up. But in real life, you can't do that. You don't get second chances sometimes. But I will say that Phoenix Wright is a fantastic game, and I highly recommend it. Another game that I've been playing this week is called Paladins, and Paladins is basically like Overwatch. It's a game that involves like, it's a first person shooter, and it involves like a lot of different, characters you can choose from. I've been playing it with a friend of mine, and we're having a blast with it. If anyone in the community is interested in playing too, let me know. It's a game on PC and it's cross platform. You can be a DPS, which stands for damage. You can be a healer, a tank. And basically you just go in with a bunch of players and you take down, like, you do elimination rounds, or you can try to capture like a flag kind of thing situation. There's a lot of fun modes here. And I literally just started playing it, and I'm really excited to see what comes of Paladins. It's really popular and I'm really excited. It reminds me a lot of Overwatch, and there's a lot of like, I feel like the only difference between Paladins and Overwatch is that Paladins doesn't take itself seriously. So you'll have like characters in the game that are overpowered, like way overpowered. And a lot of those characters are used consistently, but it's a lot of fun. I really am enjoying my time through Paladins, and I can't wait to see what else happens with it. The game has a battle pass as well, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, so that's pretty much my playlist for the week and what I've been playing. If you stay tuned, I'm going to do the question of the week where I ask the community a question and then I'm going to read their answers. So just stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. This next section of the show is called the question of the week. Every week I pose a question to the community and I get answers and I read them back. Last week, the question was, who would you like to be friends with if you could be friends with the video game character? And we got some fun answers, and it was really cool getting the opportunity to talk to people about those things. And this week, I decided to ask a new question. The new question that I asked is, what is your favorite game of all time and why? I posted this question on the Discord community and I didn't really get too many answers. But I also posted the question on some of my Facebook groups and that also of people that play games, and I actually got a lot of answers. So for those of you that are listening to the podcast from Facebook, I'm going to go ahead and read some of your answers. So the first answer I got was from someone named Derek. Secret of Mana has stuck with me since it came out, and I was like 12 at the time. It's just comforting, fun, and I've never gotten tired of playing it. So that was from Derek. Another person, his name is Esteban. Secret of Mana. I first played the game when I was 5, and it had come out in the States. The characters, story, gameplay, and especially music were incredibly influential in my life, and something I could always go back to, like comfort food. I have really found memories playing the game with my sisters, cousins, Tio's friends, and my fiance. It's just a special bonding ritual to play the games with others at this point. That's an awesome answer. These are great answers so far. I love hearing this. Another person said, his name is Spencer, Mass Effect 3. This is a fantastic space odyssey. And the culmination of the trilogy did an excellent job of making you feel the weight of the climax of this story every step of the game and see how it affects not only the main characters, but also the galaxy as a whole, and even the littlest detail of ambient conversations and hub areas make you really feel the immersion of the game on a level most games don't usually get to, or actually get to. However, probably the biggest reason is my favorite game, and will probably be my favorite game forever, is when I was in my early 20s, when I first played that game, I never thought in my lifetime I would play a game that in the midst of this space odyssey and battle of epic proportions, I would be treated to a scene where the main player character laid his hand affectionately on the face of another man and tells him he loves him. It seems not uncommon these days, but back then having a player-controlled LGBT relationships or gay relationships with that much depth was unheard of, and seeing something like that for the first time in a game is not really something another game will ever be able to replicate for me. Wow, that was a really long answer and very thoughtful answer. So thanks for sharing that, Spencer. Another answer I got from Christopher is Final Fantasy 14, Final Fantasy Tactics, and Kingdom Hearts. AJ says Final Fantasy 7 and Final Fantasy 14. And then the last person that commented said David, or it's David. He says Secret of Mana and Secret of Evermore. I replayed the two almost every year. We got some great answers. I'm really, really happy to have gotten those answers. Definitely some great games. I also see a lot of repeat answers. Like I keep seeing Secret of Mana a lot. So maybe I'll stream that game at some point. I am actually really surprised that I've keep seeing that game. Well, anyway, for all of you that posted this on the Facebook group that I... For the gaming group I posted in, thank you very much for answering this question for me. And if you are listening, you'll be able to hear your answer that I just read. And I guess I should probably answer my own question. So what is my favorite game of all time and why? I guess because I'm hosting the show, maybe I can give myself two answers. My ultimate favorite game of all time, in my opinion, would probably have to be, oh man, this is a toughie because I have a lot of games that I love. Oh man. I have like a top three, like first, second, third place. My top one would have to be Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. And the reason why I say that one is because that was one of the first games as a kid that I ever played. And I just fell in love with the game. It's one of those games that I just, it when I play it or think about it or hear music from it, it just brings back my childhood. I think back to playing Nintendo 64 in my parents' apartment, and I'm just like, you know, drinking, it's the 90s, and I'm drinking Squeeze-Its with my cousin, and we're having Bagel Bites, Pizza Bites, and my grandparents are still alive, and, you know, I call my nonna and nonno, like, they're alive, and, you know, like, they're in the other room making pasta or something, and I'm just playing Legend of Zelda, and I'm, you know, playing around as Link on Hyrule, or I'm going somewhere, like, I'm going to one of the temples in the game, and I barely even know how to read, and I'm playing through the game, and I'm just having a blast, or I'm watching my cousin play it. Like, for me, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is definitely one of my favorites because of the nostalgia. It brings me back in time to, like, an early time in my life where I was just, I didn't get to think about the world or my job or anything. I just, all I could think about was just being a kid, having fun, playing Legend of Zelda, and just having a blast. Like, for me, that game is like what someone on Facebook said, comfort food. That's what Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is for me. My second place game would have to be a game on PlayStation 2, and it's called Escape from Monkey Island. I am a big adventure game fan, and it's so funny. I have a funny story for this. So, until I never really knew what adventure games were until I got this game. And I've always been a fan of, like, fighting games like Zelda, Mario, like platformers. And I remember I was in, like, third grade or something, and I was really young, and I asked for, like, PS2 games, and I didn't even know what games I wanted at the time. So I'm just like, oh, I want a PS2 game. And excuse me. I remember my parents, like, you know, gave me a game for Christmas, and I remember opening it up, and I'm like, and I opened up the game, and I see that there's a pirate on it, and he's holding a chicken with a pulley in the middle. And I'm like, a rubber chicken with a pulley in the middle. I'm like, what the heck is this? And then next to him is this girl, and she has a sword, a swashbuckling sword. And I'm like, wow, Escape from Monkey Island. This looks so much fun. It looks like a fun fighting pirate game. So I'm excited, and then I launch the game, and it's the complete opposite. It's an adventure game. You have to, like, make puzzles or solve puzzles. You have to, like, use items. You have to talk to people. Like, what is this? I thought this was a fighting game. Turns out that Escape from Monkey Island is part of a long series. This Monkey Island for PS2 was the fifth game in the series, and I got introduced to adventure games, and it changed my life forever. It being a third grader, a third grade kid, I mean, like, and getting introduced to an adventure game that involved solving puzzles and talking to people, it gave me the realization as a kid that I learned a lot of lessons through Monkey Island. I mean, it made me realize that you can go into situations and you can solve situations through processing and thinking. That communication is very important. A lot of the puzzles in Monkey Island involve communication and talking to people. And as a kid, you know, I was like, well, I want to fight. But, like, it definitely teaches you a lesson about a game like this, where when you go into a game like this, like, if someone's mad at you, talking to them to solve a puzzle, or if someone wants something, like, talking to them or trying to, like, I think what I'm trying to say is that in Monkey Island, it, as a kid playing that game, it gave me the realization that, like, there's so many life lessons you can learn from games like this, like how to think outside the box to solve a solution to something, or having to, like, talk to a friend to resolve something, like how important communication is. How even if you're not sure about a situation or how to solve the situation, how to take a step back and, like, think about what to do before you actually do it, or how sometimes the opposite happens. If trial and error can get you out of situations, if you think things through right. On the flip side of things, Monkey Island also is one of those games that teaches you that unconventional methods sometimes work as well. I don't mean that in, like, in a bad way. I just mean that, like, sometimes, like, thinking outside the box for yourself might actually help sometimes. Monkey Island was a great game, and I loved it, and I got into the series through Monkey Island 5, and Surprisingly, Monkey Island 5 is not the most popular in the series. It was the first 3D Monkey Island game, and a lot of people did not like it. And we know what I have to say to that. I don't care, because honestly, I'm the type of person where I used to be very, very considerate about what people like would think about me. But as I get older, I just realize that, you know, at the end of the day, like, just because I like Monkey Island 5 doesn't mean like anyone else. If you hate it, it doesn't matter. Like, this game was my childhood. I love this game. But anyway, that's my second favorite game. And then my last favorite game of all time is one more childhood game that I absolutely love. I hold it near and dear to my heart. The Sims. Growing up, I was a huge fan of The Sims, and one of my cousins, my cousin is like 7 years older than me, and I'm 27. So obviously thinking back to like when I was 10, he was 17. He was playing The Sims, and I would watch him play The Sims 1 for PC, and he would make these characters, and he would have a good time like just building a mansion or like really customizing it. And then he'd like get married and then like have kids in the game, or he would like mess around and like, you know, burn down a house or something. And like, plus play around with the ways you could kill Sims. I mean, The Sims is one of those games where you can literally do anything you want. I mean, you can even mod the game and do crazy stuff with the Sims themselves. I mean, it's crazy how much you can do with The Sims. And, The Sims is one of those games that really got me into the life simulation genre. And and it's so funny because as an adult now, like, one of the reasons why I love The Sims so much is because it's inspired me to make my own version of The Sims that I'm making called My Vacation Pixel Paradise, which is a life simulation game. I love, 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 love The Sims. It's one of my favorite games of all time. And it's one of those games that just makes me relax. It makes me have fun. And I was speaking of The Sims, I actually saw an article that EA is planning to release The Sims 5 soon. And one of their biggest marketing points is that it could be a multiplayer Sims game finally, which if that's the case, it's crazy, because imagine if people are playing The Sims 5 together online and building their lives together. Like, imagine meeting a partner and, you know, being like, hey, ready to go back to our house in The Sims and like just, you know, work jobs in The Sims. Like, it's going to change the way people have relationships. I feel like it's almost like you're going to live together in The Sims before you live together in real life or something. I don't know, but I'm really excited for The Sims 5, and I'm really excited to see like what they do for the multiplayer component of a game like that. And I guess we'll see what happens. I'm very, very excited to see what they got planned for The Sims 5. But yeah, that pretty much answers my my question of the week. If you continue with the podcast, you're going to hear my positive quote of the week. So stay tuned for more. Welcome to the next part of the show. This is the positive quote of the week. So before I end the show, I always leave the show with a positive quote, something that will leave you with something to think about. Because in this world that we live in today with the pandemic and just all this stuff going on, we need more positivity in our lives. And for me, it's really important to have more positivity, to have more, especially because like I know a lot of you in the community and a lot of people out there that I am friends with, you know, struggle with anxiety or struggle with just like, you know, mental health. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, we're all here for each other. And, you know, the Italian Gamer Joe is a very inclusive community, and we're very supportive of each other. So that's why for the podcast, I love having these positive quotes of the week. They just are very powerful. So the positive quote that I would like to share is from Earl Nightingale. And his quote says, "Never give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway." I'll say it again. Never give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway. Earl Nightingale was a radio show speaker and author, and he was a military Marine Corps hero. So this is a military vet, and he was a professional radio show speaker. I'll say his quote one last time before I go more into what my interpretation of this. Never give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway. So like I said, going back into who he is, according to Wikipedia, he was born in March 12th, 1921, and he died March 25th, 1989. Like I said, he was an American radio speaker and author, according to Wikipedia. And a lot of his subjects had to do with character development, motivation, and meaningful existence. He also voiced a show from the 1950s called Sky King, and it was like an adventure series. Like I said, he was a military vet. He was born in 1921. His father abandoned his mother in 1933, and after the father left, his mom like relocated the family. So this is someone that did not have a relationship with his father. And then he immediately joined the army at 17 and was in the Marine Corps. He was part of the attack for Pearl Harbor. I mean, this is really cool, like getting the chance to read about these people that I read about for these positive quotes. And then after the war, he came back and he started working in the radio industry and he became a motivational speaker. And then he just did a bunch of things for radio. It's really cool. And then eventually he got married to his wife, Diana, and they formed their own publishing company. He's received tons of awards for his motivational speaking. As far as his legacy goes, he wrote more than 7,000 radio programs, audio programs, television programs, and videos. And then there was a Belgian popular band called Felix Palace, and they quoted his work. So that's pretty cool that a band named Felix Palace quoted his work. So it's cool seeing who this person is and their positive quote. I'll read it one last time before I end it. Never give up on a dream just because of the time it takes to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway. I forgot. So one of the reasons why I picked this quote is because we all have like ambitions. We all have dreams in our lives. We all have, you know, these goals we have. I mean, think about New Year's resolutions, you know, like, oh, I want to lose weight. I want to get down from 200 pounds to 180 or 170, and then I'm going to build muscle. And then people go to the gym, and then after 2 days, they stop. So, you know, and that's just one idea, one example. Another example could be like, oh, I want to write this book, or I want to start a podcast, or I want to, you know, finish this game in my backlog, or I want to make a game, or I want to write a book, or I want to find love, find a partner out there, or I want to fix things with my partner. All these things are dreams that people have. And I think one of the reasons why I really enjoy what Earl Nightingale says here is because he reminds someone, you know, don't give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. If you take the time to really fix things with someone, or if you take the time to really to go ahead and do these things, you know, your dreams will come true. So, I think, and there's a lot of people I know out there that struggle with stuff like this. I mean, I think back to like Final Fantasy VIII with, Squall and Rinoa. Like you have this character Squall that like has a dream to be loved and to be in a relationship or find romance. And he realizes the time it might take to risk, you know, all these things. And, you know, he was abandoned as a kid, and he runs away. He ran away from Rinoa, and he didn't want to like talk to her about his feelings. He was afraid that, you know, she started showing vulnerability, and, you know, she was like, you know, really stressing him out and, you know, like suffocating him. And Squall ran away in the game. Like he didn't want like talk to her. And it wasn't until Rinoa like got in danger of her life that Squall realized that he can't do this anymore. He can't run away. He loves Rinoa. He cares about her. He needs to take the time to be honest about his feelings, because there might be a day that comes that he won't ever get the chance to be honest about his feelings, to work on things with someone that he loves. And that's what I think is important about Earl Nightingale's quote: never give up on a dream just because of the time it takes to accomplish it. The time will pass anyway. I mean, It can apply to a relationship. It can apply to working out. I mean, if you start working out today and then you work out tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you really, really try hard to continue exercising, the time you'll look back at the calendar and be like, wait a minute, I've been working out for a whole 30 days. Like, I feel like I just started. So that's why I think it makes the quote so positive and so great to listen to, because it's true. Like, don't give up on your dreams, and all it takes is to start. You got to just start. And that's what I love about this quote. I mean, it's so positive. And for people out there that have ambitions, that have goals in their lives, be it, you know, finding love or losing weight or traveling the world, you know, and I know, unfortunately, we live in a pandemic, so it's harder to accomplish your dreams. Maybe the best advice I have there is maybe reevaluate a little bit. Try to think about dreams that you can do at home while you're quarantining, or while, and you know, the world is getting better. We're, you know, we have a vaccine on the horizon, and think places are opening up soon. But yeah, I mean, in the meantime, try seeing if you can evaluate any at home dreams. remodeling somewhere in your house, or starting a garden, or there's just so many things you can do, or maybe digital dreams. But yeah, so that's my positive quote of the week. And I have to thank Earl Nightingale for his service in the army and for having those radio shows. So may he rest in peace, or as the way I say it, instead of rest in peace, it's relax in paradise. May he relax in paradise. But that's my positive quote of the week. I'm going to go ahead and after this, I'm going to just end the show with the conclusion of the week. So hang on. All right. We have now reached the end of our Friday episode, February 19th's Italian Gamer Joe podcast. We went through a whole hour of game news, game playlist stuff, and so much more. It's been such a fun ride this week, and there is so many great games on the horizon. It's crazy. Our backlogs are filled, and we got so many distractions to play in the meantime. I want to thank everyone on the Facebook Bearspeed Gaming group for writing their messages to me, for my answering my question of the week. So if you heard your answers, thank you for commenting on them. I would like to also thank people in my Discord community for supporting the community and for being here. The community is growing, and we have some more people now, so that's great. I'd like to thank listeners that are in here as well for on the Discord for listening to the show. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate that. I'd also like to thank those that have been following my Twitch streams for the games that I've been playing. It really means a lot to me to have community members come on in and to my Twitch stream and watch me play games. Like I mentioned before earlier in the show, the last game I played on Twitch was Final Fantasy VIII, and I finished it. I really appreciate the love and support from the community for being here to play games with me and to talk. And I encourage you out there, if you're in the community as well, to also get to know each other in the community and engage on the various Discord chats we have. We are a very, very inclusive community, and we are also a very respectful community. So you are all more than welcome to continue getting to know each other, have fun. I will be continuing to stream games on Twitch every night for an hour. I haven't decided yet what I'm going to stream next. I'm debating between Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy IX. If I stream Final Fantasy VII, I will be streaming the game from halfway through. So I would have to like provide a synopsis for what's been going on. If I stream Final Fantasy IX, I will be starting the game from scratch, which I think might be more enticing to people to see a game that is starting from the very beginning. I mean, I could also start Final Fantasy VII from the beginning. That's not the end of the world. I just, we'll see. We'll see. There are so many games on the Switch that I could choose from. I think I might end up going with Final Fantasy IX, though. We'll see. Another idea that I had was Final Fantasy 13. I'm a really big fan of that game. I never finished it, and I'd love to go back to it. So there's a lot of games I can choose from. But I think I really might go with Final Fantasy IX. As far as that goes, you can tune into my Twitch stream called The Italian Gamer Joe. I'm on Twitch every night for an hour. If you happen to not be around to watch my stream, you can watch it after the fact. I am a Twitch like Prime member, so you'll see my videos are up for 60 days. If you missed the show, if you missed it, the Twitch stream, you can also watch my show on YouTube. You can watch any of my past Twitch streams on YouTube as well. And those don't go away. Those don't expire. I have walkthroughs for those games as well. Which is really convenient to have. If you are listening to the show through Anchor, I really appreciate it, but you can also listen to the show through Spotify and anywhere else podcasts are distributed. I am still working on getting my show up on Apple Podcasts, but you can also listen to the show on YouTube. So if it's easier for you to listen to my podcast on YouTube, you can do that as well. You can also follow the Italian Gamer Joe on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. So there's lots of places you can follow my content. As for my game development, My Vacation Pixel Paradise, there's been, I've been slowing down with my development. I've been going through some personal issues with my life right now. I am going through, an unfortunate, parting of ways, and it's been really hard for me, and, I am getting help. I have a support system, so it's been great to have the opportunity to, have friends and family around. And, I have been really just focusing on me, and, going back to my vacation, I've been slowing my pace down a little bit with the game. And while I've been slowing down the pace, I've also taken a step back and really started thinking about the gameplay, really started thinking about the artwork and the overall idea of like ideas that I had in the past. And I started thinking to myself, like, maybe this idea is not a good idea. Maybe I should take a step back and like really go back to the drawing board and think about the kind of experience I want players to have with My Vacation Pixel Paradise. And I'm really glad I did that, because now I'm starting to come up with a whole new concept for the game that's still very much similar to the vein that I had before, but it's now more lining up with how I feel about just having more fun with it, a more casual experience. So I'm really excited to continue that. And the game is making good progress. It is making great progress in terms of functionality and artwork and music. I want to thank my artist for doing a great job with rendering the backgrounds and the objects. And I also want to thank my composer, who also does a fantastic job with the in-game music. I am so proud of them for all the hard work they do with putting into my game. So thank you. Thank you. You both know who you are. Thank you so much for helping if you're listening to the show. But yeah, so other than that, that's pretty much the only other thing for the show. So for those of you that are listening now, thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate your love and support. And for those of you that are listening after the fact, thank you so much as well. I will be here again next Friday, which, let's see, it is next Friday, February 26th, the last Friday of February, at 7 o'clock next weekend. Feel free to hop on in and listen again if you'd like to listen to it live. Between now and next Friday, I will be streaming Final Fantasy IX, most likely. You're also more than welcome to engage in the community, post any news for games. What I might also do is pose my new question of the week a little sooner, so that way there's more people that can like answer it within the time that I've given. But yeah, so thank you so much again to all my listeners out there. If you can, please be sure to also recommend my show and Twitch stream and videos to your friends. Word of mouth is really important. If you would like to be on the show and you would like to co-host with me, please let me know and I can add you to the schedule. Before you decide to be on the show, though, please make sure to have a piece of video game news that interests you. Have a few games or one game that you're playing that week that really are having a good time with. Prepare yourself an answer to my question of the week. Also prepare your own positive quote. And if you can do all those things before co-hosting, you are more than welcome to join the show. But yeah, other than that, this is the Italian Gamer Joe, and I am signing off. Hope everybody has a good evening. Buonanotte. Lasciatemi cantare.
con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare, sono un italiano. Buongiorno Italia, gli spaghetti al dente, e un partigiano come presidente, con l'autoradio sempre nella mano destra, un canarino sopra la finestra. Buongiorno Italia con i tuoi artisti, con troppa America sui manifesti, con le canzoni, con amore, con il cuore, con più donne sempre meno suore. Buongiorno Italia, buongiorno Maria, con gli occhi pieni di malinconia, buongiorno Dio, sai che ci sono anch'io. Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare una canzone piano piano, lasciatemi cantare perché ne sono fiero, sono un italiano vero. Italia che non si spaventa, con la crema da barba la menta, con un vestito gessato sul blu e l'amo viola la domenica in TV. Buongiorno Italia col caffè ristretto, le calze nuove nel primo cassetto, con la bandiera in tintoria, una 600 giù di carrozzeria. Buongiorno Italia, buongiorno Maria, con gli occhi pieni di malinconia, buongiorno Dio, lo sai che ci sono anch'io. Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare perché ne sono fiero, sono un italiano vero. Sono fiero, sono un italiano, un italiano vero.